Du hører på Teknisk Sett, en podcast fra TU. Mitt navn Jan Moberg, og jeg sitter nå på et pressesenter I Las Vegas med Odd-Rikard Valmot.
Hei, Jan.
Hei, Odd-Rikard.
Vi litt trøtte nå, Jan.
Ja, jeg kjenner litt på den omtalte jetlaggen.
Ja.
Men, Odd-Rikard, vi har kommet oss til CES, Consumer Electronics Show, I Las Vegas.
Omsider.
Omsider, og det 2 år siden sist.
Det det.
I fjor så ble det rett og slett avlyst.
Det var det bare virtuelt.
Ja. Så nå må vi komme oss tilbake, og jeg veldig spent på hva vi finner her, for nå har alle disse innovatørene ventet I 2 år på å vise frem sakene sine.
Og vi her.
Og vi her, og vi skal
starte. Ikke bare oss.
Nei, ikke bare oss. Vi skal nemlig starte med han som Vice President for Research I CTA, som arrangerer hele CES.
Ja.
Og han har vi snakket med før, Steve Koenig. Welcome, or we are actually coming to you.
Live in person in yes. Las Vegas at CES 2022. Thank you so much for making the journey. It's great to see you both.
Thanks. Oh, we're so glad we could make it. And as I said here in Norwegian, it's 2 years since the last time it was physical. And I'm thinking there must be so many innovators out there that have stuff that they've been eager for 2 years to show. And
that's so true and how time flies. But it is great to gather again as safely as we can here in Las Vegas for CES 2022. And you're right, there is a lot of innovation here on display in person at the show. In fact, we have over 2,200 exhibitors here at CES from over 160 countries. And included in that number are 800 startups, tech startups, from 19 different countries. So you're exactly correct. I think there has been pent-up demand to get back to in-person events, to showcase technology, and really just celebrate the spirit of innovation that has been so robust around the world, not just a U.S. thing or a European thing, but a global thing.
Yeah.
And that is on display literally here in Las Vegas at CES 2022.
You have told us, we've been sitting through one of your presentations, and there's some interesting stuff there when you look into the crystal ball to see what's coming and also how the pandemic has affected tech.
Well, it's true. And in this season of the pandemic, we've seen robust tech adoption, not just in the U.S., but around the world of a lot of different technologies. I would put smart home, you know, really at the top of the list. Just consumers buying into tech, adopting more services. We're all consumers at the end of the day, and because of the pandemic, we've had to, as consumers, make a number of what I could describe as pandemic pivots, just shifts in our behavior.
Yeah.
And services have played a big part of that. So many of my friends and colleagues and family, you know, they've never used food delivery services before the pandemic, but they certainly do now.
Mm.
And so that's just one example of more adoption of services. And what's interesting is they're going to stick with those services moving forward.
But it's also amazing that there's been a lot of problems during the pandemic, and especially the chip shortage.
True.
Even then, the industry has grown tremendously.
Well, yes. Even with the chip shortage, the industry has grown. Now, again, I point to services as a big part of our growth story. But, yes, certainly hardware products and so forth, a lot of adoption. For their part, the semiconductor makers have been hard at work squeezing out more production.
Mm.
But I think the chip shortage really came about. It was bound to happen at some future point just with the rising tide organically of consumer demand. But the pandemic accelerated that massively, which is what led to a very abrupt shortage. But we are chipping away, pardon the pun, at the chip shortage. And I think the real fix, and several companies like TSMC and Samsung and Intel have announced plans to build more production facilities around the world. And that's a good thing. But probably till the middle of the decade before we see those facilities come online.
Yeah, so we're still a few years off.
Still a few years off, yeah.
Yeah, and then we will probably have a glut then.
Well, I don't think so, because if we forecast and trend cast forward, just the extent to which technology is contributing, not just in the consumer space, but across the economy, I think we'll see more and more and more demand for chips, semiconductors, microcontrollers, all these different things, as well as AI. We're going to need more data. We expect more services, which will require more cloud infrastructure and data centers. So, yeah, I think actually, in truth, by the middle part of the decade, we will be lucky if we have the supply to meet demand by the time we get there.
Yeah. It's been very difficult, and getting merchandise is also very difficult.
Well, sure, supply chain.
So long.
Yeah, supply chain has definitely been a friction point, not just for tech, but for every other consumer product sector, if you like, and even in the enterprise world, getting materials for various building projects and so forth. But that too, I think we're starting to unwind some of that. But that's going to take time. The pandemic has changed a lot, and it's introduced a number of new challenges, and we're working through those. But most significantly, I think here at CES, we're also seeing a lot of solutions to some of these problems that have been brought into sharp relief by the pandemic. And supply chain is one of those when we think about 21st century logistics and self-driving trucks.
Yeah.
So this is just another thing that CES is good at, is bringing forward ostensible solutions to real-world problems, global problems.
And one thing that I'm particularly intrigued with is the travel that the CES itself has taken. I mean, it's not that many years ago. I was in North Hall, and it was mostly full of cars with stereos in them. But now you have big transportation setups. I mean, you're talking about flying taxis and you're talking about autonomous vehicles. I mean, this has become sort of the showcase for that kind of technology as well.
Yeah, I think going back several years, 5 to 8 years, CES became a major waypoint on the automotive calendar globally. And the reason for that is 100% to do with tech and just more tech and consumers wanting the latest tech and connectivity support in their vehicles, connected services and so forth, safety sensors. We think about advanced driver assist, you know, lane departure warnings, parking assist, crash avoidance, all these safety features. These are all fantastic improvements in the automotive space, the driving experience. Electric vehicles no longer having, you know, freed from having to pay at the pump anymore. And I know electric vehicles are very popular and probably one of the densest places in the world in terms of electric vehicle ownership. So Norway leading the way, which is great to see. And having been to Oslo a couple times, it is truly remarkable. And I think when we talk about crystal balls, I think just walking around downtown Oslo and looking at all the Teslas and other electric vehicles, that's a glimpse into the future, because I think we'll see more of that worldwide in the decade to come.
Yeah, and we actually saw quite a lot more electric cars when we drove from Los Angeles to Las Vegas this year.
Yeah, electric vehicles are definitely catching on globally, and we actually just did some research here in the U.S. Amongst U.S. adults and talking about their plans for buying their next car, and 39% said that they would consider either a plug-in hybrid or a fully electric vehicle. So that just underscores that I think the genie is out of the bottle for electric vehicles. Mm. People have seen them on the motorways. They've talked to friends, maybe family, that have owned one. It's a great experience.
Mm.
And there is our research has shown there's still a little bit of distance anxiety, just how far can I go on a charge.
Yeah.
But this is, again, here at CES, a lot of charging solutions so we can have more charge points along the highways. You know, going, say, between Trondheim and Oslo, you can charge up a bit more so you don't have to worry about making it on one charge, for example. But also battery technology, just able to hold more juice, if you like, and lighter, smaller, not heavier or larger. So great innovation for electric vehicles.
But Steve, if you look into your crystal ball, what do you see? What kind of consumer area will grow the most, will be the most interesting going forward?
Well, most interesting, and I think grow the most, and this is a long-term story, though, it has to be metaverse, which we're just now beginning to talk about. And I would say where we are with the metaverse today is very similar to where we are back in the early 90s with the internet and our 56K modems and dial-up technology. Back then, it was certainly, we could not have even imagined. It was sci-fi, the things that we're doing online today. And so I think similarly, when we think about the metaverse, this is not something that's just going to happen and like, okay, now we have the metaverse. It's going to be an evolutionary story probably over the next 20 years. But what is the metaverse and what does that mean? And to me, that means it's really the next generation of the internet, which again, we know the story of the internet. That's evolved over the past basically roughly 30 years. And the metaverse is that next generation of the internet that will deliver increasingly immersive digital experiences. And those immersive digital experiences will eventually become inextricably linked with our physical reality.
We have gotten some teasers from companies wanting to demonstrate holographic experiences here, and that's, you know, we really look forward to seeing that. And that's a part of it.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
And when all these pieces come together, it's going to be quite something different. But will Richard and I be experiencing it, or are we too old?
will he accept us?
Yeah. Exactly. Well. I think actually a lot of us are going to be able to experience what I would describe as metaversian type endeavors. Again, this is an evolutionary story, but that's what's exciting is that we're going to participate, all of us, in the creation and manifestation of this metaverse.
And to be clear, this is not just about Facebook.
Absolutely. I think that's really a core question today is where our metaversian kind of experience is going to happen first. Is it going to be in the consumer space, gaming, social media, or is it going to be in the enterprise space with like virtual
business,
training?
Business,
B2B.
B2B.
Yeah, so we'll find out.
Yeah, and those new solutions for holographic communication instead of just sitting on Teams is going to be one part of it, and that's going to be... I think companies are going to be willing to put money into it.
I think in 20 years, we'll look back to what we've been doing on Zoom calls and Microsoft Teams and just say, gosh, that was so archaic. We had to sit in front of a screen.
Yeah.
I really, truly believe that's the way it's going to be.
Steve, there's so many topics we could talk about here. 5G, cloud, AI, artificial intelligence and all of that. But this one topic that we also find very interesting here at CES, and that's digital health. That's also been an incredibly growing sector for you and for the industry.
Well, and for obvious reasons, in this season of the pandemic, I would put digital health at the salient of innovation in many respects, not just in the consumer space and wearables, but also in provider solutions. Just thinking about, we talked earlier about services and the importance of services, telemedicine. I mean, that's really reshaped the nature of care. Certainly for working parents, they don't have to take their kid every time their kids get a sniffle. They don't have to take him down to the doctor's office. They can just pop online and get a prescription. So very helpful, but more technology delivering new ways of delivering care, remote patient monitoring and care, caring and not just with health, but also caring for seniors. A lot of us have to care for aging parents, the so-called sandwich generation. You know, we have kids at home, and I'm also caring for mom and dad. Yeah. You know, a lot of technology solutions to help with that. So smaller, lighter sensors, wearables, people managing chronic disease, the list goes on. Just so many wonderful things happening in digital health, which is why we say it all adds up to just tech for good and making life better.
So in a few years, the kids are going to pop us full of sensors so they don't need to visit us.
No, they'll know
they don't need to.
You do.
Yeah, they don't need
to. They know everything. And you'll be a hologram if they want to see you. So, so don't worry about that. We have to ask you, Steve, since you are originally from Texas.
Yes, I'm a native Texan.
Absolutely, and we're hearing that a lot of the California tech companies are moving eastwards and going to Texas. Why?
Well, as a native Texan, I just have to respond with why not? It's a great state, low cost of living, but
you're also in this great industry, and you see it from more of a more serious angle. But Silicon Valley become too small, too crowded?
Well, I think Silicon Valley is very competitive. Businesses are looking for an edge, and I think They're also looking for an environment where people want to live and work, raise a family. So I think this is why a lot of tech brands like Samsung, that is planning to build a chip making facility in Texas, they're looking at Texas and other states around America as alternatives to maybe the usual suspects like car manufacturing in Detroit. Well, it can happen in a lot of different places and a lot of states and locality, not just Texas,
Arizona,
competing. Yeah, Arizona, the Carolinas, lots of places are competing. At the state level to attract these businesses. Why? Well, because it creates jobs, and that's good for the local economy, and that supports their tax revenues and so forth. But it's also just you have to train workers and have the workforce, and obviously there's a lot of competition when it comes to tech in California. So a business decision to increase competitiveness and profitability.
Norway is a bit like Texas, heavy on oil and gas, and a lot of people employed within that sector. So what could we do in Norway to get these companies to come to little Norway? Anything at all?
Well, the good news is that most Norwegians I know speak very good English, so you're already ahead of the curve there. But in any case, you know, thinking about maybe an American tech company in particular. But yeah, I think this is, we've talked about different states in America, but you raise a great point. It's beyond America. It's a country level. So in the semiconductor arena, what we expect to see is more of these new chip-making facilities are built. They'll be built in America, but also places in Europe. I think Ireland has been earmarked for one plant from Intel as one example. But yeah, I would expect Norway to get its fair share because we know Norway is an awesome country, great people, a great place to live, lots of things to do, and so I think it'll happen for Norway, certainly.
Yeah, we are setting up now battery factories, so at least we'll be big on that scene, I think.
Well, this is also, you bring a great point, because just we talked about the enthusiasm and density of ownership of electric vehicles. They require batteries. So I think this is also part of the endeavor where we're seeing more geodiversity and brands moving out of the traditional areas into new states in America and new countries around the world, is to shorten the supply chain. So if we have a huge market here in Norway for electric vehicles, why don't we make the batteries here? Or in Northern Europe, why don't we make the batteries here in Northern Europe? And that way we don't have to ship them all the way from China, which is very expensive. So again, business decisions to improve profitability, but also to delight customers, shorter wait times and so forth.
Well, Steve, we know you have a tight schedule. You are kicking off the entire CES of 2022, and Richard and I are going to go out and experience some of all the good stuff from the 2,200
22, yeah, exactly, yeah.
So thank you for spending some time with us. It was exciting to hear what we are going to endeavor here.
My pleasure, and much success in the new year and here at CES 2022. There's a lot to see here, and I know you guys you're up for it, so good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.